Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. So good to see you today. And we are going to study God's Word today. We have a wonderful passage. It's from the book of Acts, where we're studying. So let's pray and dig in. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for our opportunity to study the eternal, holy Word of God. Lord, illuminate our spirits that we might be able to understand your word and comprehend its power for us. And Lord, anoint me that I might be able to teach it with power. And grab our spirits and inspire and motivate our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what amen and what amen. Okay. Well, Acts chapter 3, here we go. You ever wonder why people make such a big deal out of praying in the name of Jesus, amen? Why is that so important that we're praying in the name of Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about today. And by the time we're done, I think if you don't do it already, you'll end every prayer in the name of Jesus and make the name of Jesus the foundation of your prayer life. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Okay. So, a little bit of background. Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is in the temple courts after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his ascension back to heaven. And suddenly the Holy Spirit falls on the early disciples and they begin speaking in languages that they never studied, that they didn't know, they never were trained in. This was during the Pentecost. So that there were lots of people there in Jerusalem as pilgrims, Shavuot, the festival of weeks. And all these people said, wow, we hear these disciples each speaking in our own natural language. There are 15 of them listed. The wonders of God. And clearly this was supernatural. And Peter preached a sermon and said, repent and turn to Christ. And 3,000 did, and they lived in wonderful harmony together in those early days of the Christian church in Jerusalem. Now, that's where we stopped. Now we're in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go, New King James Version of the Bible. And by the way, what do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? Tell me, we study the Bible. Come on, the whole Bible. Come on. Nothing but the Bible. Come on. And then we apply it to our life. Okay. So you ready? Here we go. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This is 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried on a stretcher, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms, to ask for money from those who entered the temple. The main entrance to the temple was from the south, and there were broad, wide steps there going into the temple, and there was a triple gate called the Beautiful Gate. You could also enter on the east and you could enter on the west, but this was the main entrance. And this is where this man was lying on his pallet, on his stretcher, and he was begging for money as people came in. He was lame from his mother's womb. How old was he? Well, we're not 100% sure exactly, but he was clearly a grown man. So he had not walked in 20 more or more years, obviously. Never had he walked. So he was there. Verse 3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms, for money, for charity. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive some money from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping in the air and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that this was the man who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, now, amazing healing. And immediately this man who had not walked in decades stood up and began not just walking in a halting way, but jumping up and down and leaping and praising God. His ankle bones and his legs were strengthened by the power of God. You know, atrophy is a real thing. I've broken my ankles 3 times. You say you have 3 ankles? No, I broke the right one twice, the left one once. All sports injuries when I was younger. And the third one, the third time I broke it, I had already had 2 of these plaster of Paris casts on for 6 weeks previously when I broke my ankles. Now, today, of course, they use boots and you can take it off at night to sleep in most cases. That wasn't the way about it was back then. It was this hard, immovable plaster of Paris cast, and your leg would start itching, and you'd get a coat hanger and scratch it. It was terrible. It was terrible. And I'm claustrophobic, so I couldn't, not being able to move my ankle. My toes would curl at night. I mean, I was going crazy. It was really a psychotic event for me. And so on the third one, the third cast, I knew I wasn't going to make it 6 weeks. I couldn't do it. I was up at night. I mean, it was just horrible. So 3 weeks in, I'd begun to be able to walk on it. They put a pad on the cast. But 3 weeks in, I couldn't stand it anymore. And so I was back in our master bathroom, and Brenda walked in, and I was sitting on the toilet. The top was down. I was sitting on the toilet fully clothed, and I had my leg, the one with the cast, up, you know, on my other leg, and I was chiseling the cast off with a screwdriver and a little hammer. Yeah, no, that's what I was doing. And Brenda walked in and went, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm taking this cast off." And she said, "You can't do that. No, you can't do that. It's supposed to be on 6 weeks." I said, "Brenda, I'm a grown man. And with all due respect to the doctor, I can take this cast off whenever I want to. And I'm taking it off. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going out of my mind." And I did. I chiseled it off. Well, I had only been in this cast for 3 weeks. That's it. 3 weeks. Not 20 years. Not 30 years like this man in Acts 3. 3 weeks. And when I stood up and tried to walk, it was virtually impossible. My leg was so weakened by 3 weeks in this cast. The atrophy that had set in was so serious that literally I had to hold on to the countertop to even hobble across the bathroom. Folks, this guy had not walked in 2 decades, 3 decades. Can you imagine the atrophy in his legs? And yet the Bible says immediately his legs were strengthened, his ankles were strengthened, he stood, he walked, yeah, he shouted, yeah, he jumped up and down, leaping and praising God, yeah. Hey, what does this prove? Baby, it proves when the Lord heals you, the Lord heals you correctly. He heals you right. Yes, absolutely. This was a supernatural thing. And notice what Peter said to him. Peter said, silver and gold, I memorized this, silver and gold I have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he did it. I remember Charles Stanley when he was preaching on this passage from First Baptist in Atlanta one time said, gentlemen, when we have to reach out as pastors to people, whether their problem is financial, whether it is their health, whether it is their children, whatever their job, whatever it is, just remember, we have no more to offer them than Peter and John had. All we have to offer people is Jesus. And that's what they offered this man. Well, I never forgot that. And I tried to remember that if someone needs financial help, well, what I really need to offer them is Jesus. When they need healing or medical help, what I really need to offer them is Jesus. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. Psalm 20, verse 7, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what I needed to offer them. If they had trouble at work or trouble with their family, what I needed to offer them is Jesus. Don't forget, friend, you only have one thing to offer people who need help. It's not your oratory. It's not your smarts. It's not your intelligence. It's not your learning. You can offer them your love, but what they really need is they need the power of Jesus in their life. If they don't know him, they need to come to know him so that his power can be set free in their life. And if they do know him, then we need to encourage them not to trust horses and chariots, but to trust the name of God himself. All right. Man, that's a great sermon, Lon. That's not the sermon. That's just a bonus. Okay. Yeah. But it's true. All right. And the people recognized this man as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate. Well, not sit, but lie there. And they were all astounded. Now, we're going to stop right there because we're going to ask our most important question. And you know our most important question is, don't you? Are you ready? Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Oh, yeah, baby. And having a God who can do this? Hey, what do we say? How sweet it is. How sweet it is to have a God like that. There's only one God like that. And he's our God. And praise the Lord. But what do I want you to take home today from this? Well, notice what Peter said to this man. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He didn't say in the name of the church. He didn't say in the name of the Bible. He didn't say in the name of Peter. He didn't say in the name of Peter and John. He didn't say in the name of anybody or anything but in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. This is what I want you to take home. Let me put it very simply. There is power in the name of Jesus. See, that's what you want me to take home. Exactly. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. You ready? Say it with me. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say it with me again. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, that's what I want you to take home. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul says that Jesus was in the form of God, was God himself, but he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to tenaciously, but rather he emptied himself of those prerogatives by taking the form of a servant and coming to earth in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now watch. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Who is the him here? What's his name? Jesus. Right. And given him, what's his name? Jesus. Notice this. The name which is above every name. Notice the Bible doesn't say a name which is above every name. That's not what the Bible says. God has given him a name that's above everybody else. Well, God could have given somebody else also a name that's above everybody else. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God has given him the name, the one and only name that is above every name. There's only one name that's above every other name. And what name is that? It's the name of Jesus. That's right. Now look at the next verse, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But I left something out. I left out a phrase. Look, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven, the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, all the heavenly creatures and heavenly host. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, they bow. And of those on earth. Well, right now, every knee doesn't bow here on earth when they hear the name of Jesus. But folks, there will come a day where every single person who's ever lived here on earth will bow the knee to the name of Jesus. They will either bow it willingly in heaven and excitedly and joyfully, or they will bow it on their way to hell at the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. They may bow it begrudgingly and they may curse as they bow the knee, but they will bow the knee and have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That will happen. All these arrogant people you know who laugh at you that you willingly bow the knee that you have to Christ right now, make fun of you, think you're a simpleton and an idiot. Oh, wait a minute. It ain't over yet. It ain't over. And before it's all over, they will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. But there was one more phrase. They will bow the knee, both of those in heaven and those on the earth, and watch, and of those, look, under the earth. Now, who's that? Who lives under the earth? Yeah, well, it's not human beings. We don't live under the earth. We live on the earth. It's not the heavenly hosts. They live above the earth. Who lives below the earth? That's right. It's Satan and all of his evil beings. And would you notice? They bow at the name of Jesus as well. Their knee has to bow. They have to swear obeisance. They have to obey the name of Jesus. You remember when Jesus would meet a demon in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and they would say, "We know who you are. Why have you come to torment us before the time? We know you're going to torment us, but it's too soon. It's too soon yet. We haven't been thrown in the lake of fire yet." And they begged him with the man called Legion, let us go into the pigs instead. And they had to get his permission in order to do that. They're under his authority. The name of Jesus has authority over everybody above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. That's why in Job chapter 1 and 2, Satan had to come and get permission to tempt and pick on Job. And that's why the disciples came back in Luke 10 and they said, "Lord, Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven when you were out there doing your ministry. And so there is power in the name of Jesus. It is the name, not a name, the name that is above every name. Now, let me close by telling you the three things that the name of Jesus has power to do. Number one, the name of Jesus has power to produce answered prayer. Listen to these scriptures. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus' name, I will do it. John 16:23. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And you're like, wow, that's great, man. I've always wanted a Maserati. I'm just going to ask God in the name of Jesus to do that for me. I've always wanted Jimmy Choo shoes. I'm just going to ask God in the name of Jesus to do it for me. Wait a minute. Not yet. Because we have to interpret scripture by scripture. And in John 14:13, listen, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, Jesus said, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Every prayer you pray is going to be answered, my friend. But it's going to be answered in the way that most glorifies God the Father and God the Son. Now, if God can give you a Maserati and use that to most glorify God in your life, he'll do it. But maybe that's not the case. Jimmy Choo shoes. Yeah, if God can give them to you and bring the most glory to himself, yeah, he'll give them to you. But he's not going to give you whatever you want just because you want it, or me. He's going to give us what most glorifies God. And the secret to getting answered prayer that does that is the name of Jesus. Listen, John 14, if you ask anything in my name, John 16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, you got it? You know, many, many times, many of you know, I've got a daughter who has severe disability. She has Dravet syndrome, a very serious and awful type of epilepsy. And we just celebrated Jill's birthday last week. She's 34 years old. And I won't bore you with all the details, but honestly, we nor her doctors ever thought she'd see 10 years old. But here we are, a quarter of a century later, and Jill's still, in fact, doing great. Praise the Lord. She still needs 24/7 care, but she's happy and she's healthy and she has very few seizures now, and we love her to death. Okay, but the point is, over the years, particularly in the early years, in the name of Jesus, I ask God over and over and over again to heal my daughter. In the name of Jesus. He didn't do it. In fact, 35 years later, 34, he's not done it. She's better, for sure, but not healed, because that was not what he decided was going to bring the most glory to God from Jill's life. And had he healed her back when she was 3 years old, there would be no Jill's House today that helps thousands of young people with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities, and helps families with those children, and is a shining witness for Christ. There would be no Jill's House. We wouldn't have ever got that far in dreaming how to help people. There would have been no Access Ministry at McLean Bible Church and all the other places, the churches around the country that Access Ministry has spawned. There'd be no Beautiful Blessings. There'd be no Soaring Over Seven summer camp for these children. There'd be no ADDP, Adults with Disabilities Day program, for people who've aged out of the public school. They're over 22. but they still have those intellectual and physical disabilities, and we provide a community for them the way they go Monday to Friday, so they don't just sit at home and watch television. None of that would exist. So God said, no, Lon, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to glorify God by Jill's illness, but I'm not going to do it the way you want. I'm going to do it in a way that glorifies my name more. Yes. Would it have glorified my name to heal her? Yes. But I'm choosing to glorify my name another way, by using her life. That's God's call. I don't pull the strings in the universe. He does. Did he answer my prayer according to his promise to glorify God? Yes. But he just didn't answer it the way I expected him to. He's going to answer every prayer you ask in the name of Jesus in a way that most glorifies God with your life. But it just may not be the way that you expect him to. But he's going to answer every one of those prayers. The name of Jesus has power to answer prayer. Number two. Second, the name of Jesus has power to get us into heaven. To get us into heaven. Let's go down to the next chapter, Acts chapter 4. After this healing, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the rabbis, arrested Peter and John and called them in and made them stand and give an account of what just happened out there. What is this healing? And they say, Acts chapter 4, verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole, healed. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other, look, name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. How do we get saved? How do we get to heaven? How do we get eternal life? Jesus says, Peter here says, it's by the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven, no other name by which we must be saved. That's it. So if you're planning to get to heaven, the name of Jesus is powerful, and it will bring you in the sight of God. If you'll trust him, it'll bring you forgiveness of sin, and it'll bring you entrance into heaven, eternal life. When it comes to getting into heaven, my friend, there's only one name that the gatekeepers of heaven recognize and honor, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. If you show up at the pearly gates, assuming there are some, and want to get into heaven, and you say, I come in the name of Buddha, the gatekeepers will say, I'm sorry, that name don't work here. I come in the name of Confucius. I'm sorry, that name don't work here. I come in the name of Joseph Smith of the Mormons. I'm sorry, that name don't work here. I come in the name of Muhammad. I'm sorry, that name don't work here. I come in the name of the Dalai Lama. I'm sorry, that name don't work here. I come in the name of Rabbi so-and-so. Say it with me. That name don't work here. You can think any name you want to think of, and you're going to get the same answer. I'm sorry. Say it with me. Come on, ready? That name don't work here. But man, you show up at that gate, and you say, I come in the name of Jesus. And they will say to you, well, come on, brother, why didn't you say that earlier? Come on in. That name works here. The name of Jesus has power to get people, you, me, into heaven. Finally, number three, the name of Jesus has power to enable us to battle the devil and put him on the run. Name that has power to battle his emissaries, his evil beings, and put them on the run. The name of Jesus has power to provide safety for us and our family and the people we love from the emissaries of Satan and put them on the run. How do I know that? Well, look, Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, watch, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, who he may gobble up, who he may gulp down. This is a very strong word in the Greek New Testament. Friends, do you understand the devil has absolutely no compassion of any kind for anyone ever? I mean, as human beings, even the worst human being usually has compassion for somebody or someone, even for their mother or their father or their girlfriend or their wife or their husband. Or he has no compassion for anyone. He will tear your children limb from limb, spiritually, and if he can, physically. He will tear your grandchildren limb from limb. He will tear you from limb to limb, if the Lord lets him, if he can do it. He wanted to tear Job limb from limb. He has no feeling. He has no remorse. He has nothing but resolve to eat you up and spit you out in complete destruction and everything you hold good and holy and right. How do we stand against a being like this? How do we fight against a being like this? Well, James 4:7 says it, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And what are we resisting with? Oh, my friends. Luke chapter 10, the disciples come back from their first public preaching tour, and they say, even the demons themselves, they say, Luke chapter 10, are subject to us in your name. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul got frustrated with this demon-possessed girl in Philippi, he turned to her and he said, in the name of Jesus, come out of that girl. And throughout the New Testament, people who fought against demonic forces fought against them not in their own strength, but in the name of Jesus. That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. In the name of Jesus, the demons are subject to us. That's what the disciples said. We stand against him by invoking the name of Jesus. We stand against every one of his evil beings by invoking the name of Jesus, because it has power to allow us to resist the enemy and fight against him. And when we resist him in the name of Jesus, the promise of God is he will flee from you. The promise of God that we need to quote and say, Satan, or one of his emissaries, whoever you are, I resist you, James 4:7, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I have God's promise. You must flee from me and my children and my grandchildren and my husband and my wife and whatever in the name of Jesus. You know, I like to lie down at night with my daughter Jill just as she's going to sleep, and I lie behind her, put my arm around her, and pray with her. And if she has a seizure during the night, which still happens occasionally, I go in, and I once we get the seizure to stop and everything, I like to just lie there sometimes and comfort her while she's falling back asleep. And I was doing this one night. This was several years ago, and she'd had a pretty bad seizure. Sometimes she'll have a second one right on the heels of the first one. This is not good. Occasionally, she's even had three in a row until we had to give her some medicine we have on hand to stop the seizures in an emergency. But I was lying there after she had had one seizure, We don't like to give her that medicine, though, because it really knocks her out and for a couple of days makes her woozy, and we don't like to use it if we don't have to. And I was lying there, and all of a sudden, it was dark in the room. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the hair on the back of my neck literally just stood up, and there was dread that suddenly gripped me. And not fear, but terror, of the terror of being in the presence of something evil and dangerous and spiritually horrible. And I knew exactly what it was. Folks, in my early years doing drugs, psychedelics, many other kinds of drugs, folks, I knew evil. I had been in the presence of evil. I had been in the presence of evil beings. I really don't like to talk about it, but I know evil when I'm in its presence. Satanic evil, demonic evil. And I knew that's what we had right here in Jill's room. Couldn't see it, but I knew it. And immediately I started praying out loud. And remember, if you're praying against the enemy, you got to pray out loud, because his emissaries and Satan himself, they're not omniscient. They don't know everything. They can't read your mind. If you pray it in your mind, they don't hear you. You got to pray it out loud for it to have effect. I started praying out loud. I raised my arm and I pointed into the darkness and I prayed, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I resist you. Whatever you are, you evil being from the pit of hell, I resist you, and you must leave and not bring another seizure on my daughter, because the Bible says it is written, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I have that promise from God, and so right now, I resist you in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, and I instruct you to flee, because that's the promise of God, and that's what the scripture says. And do not bring another seizure on my daughter." Say, what happened? Well, almost as quickly as I sensed the presence of whatever it was, I sensed the absence of whatever it was. My body relaxed, and I knew in my spirit whatever it was gone. And you know what? Praise the Lord. My daughter never had another seizure that night. Friends, God has given us the greatest weapon in the universe to use in our fight against the enemy. It's the name of Jesus. And how sad that so few of us as Christians actually know it, and even fewer of us use it. You say, why not? I don't know. Maybe we're embarrassed. Maybe we've never been taught how to use the name of Jesus and been challenged to use it. I don't know. You say, Lon, I don't know, man. This sounds real charismatic to me. Sounds like something you'd see on television late night on one of them TBN stations or something. Friends, what I'm teaching you right here is not charismatic. It's not non-charismatic. It's biblical. It's biblical for our struggle, Ephesians chapter 6, is not against flesh and blood. It is against the powers and the principalities, spiritual evil in high places. This is what the Bible says. And we need weapons in order to fight in that battle. And the name of Jesus is the weapon that God has given us. But remember, you got to use it out loud so that it can be heard by these evil beings. So let's summarize. There is power in the name of Jesus. Number one, power to produce answered prayer. Number two, power to get us into heaven and give us eternal life. And power number three, to help us fight the enemy and his evil beings in our pilgrimage through life. Now, of course, the name of Jesus has other powers, but these are three of the greatest that I want to suggest to you today. So use the name of Jesus and let the power that's in it be unleashed in your walk with God and in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would challenge my friends who are listening to this, my brothers and my sisters, that we are in a spiritual battle. We're battling wickedness, evil in high places, far beyond our human capacity. And Lord, we need a weapon that is not an earthly weapon. 2 Corinthians 10. We need spiritual weapons, the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Lord, help us also to remember that it's the power to get us into heaven, the name of Jesus. And it's the power to produce answered prayer, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus should be the greatest weapon we have, and we should use it at all times. Lord, instruct us today and change the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we pray, and the way we confront the enemy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Wow, that's preaching. Yeah. No, friends, that's biblical truth. May God help us to learn from it. All of us, me, you, all of us. And may we use the greatest weapon he's given us, often and without apology. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.